AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM, serving Philadelphia and the tri-state area and the entire United States of America and the world simply by logging on to AmericanWorkersRadio.com. I'm going to ask all of you to contact your family and friends and invite them to tune into 860. If you live outside the tri-state area, it's very easy to log on and get us at AmericanWorkersRadio.com. Today we're going to have a very interesting discussion. We're already at the ending of the official summer season. It's pretty hard to believe how quickly time went past. We will have a copy of today's rebroadcast going up later this afternoon. And I want to say thank you to all of the people that have been promoting our theme for 2019, working together for the best interests of America and American workers. This week, we have a huge festival, 3 days, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, at the National Shrine of Our Lady of Częstochowa in Doylestown, Pennsylvania. 12 to 8 p.m. each day, I'll be working the main stage. Make sure you stop by and have a good time. Make sure you also stop by the main stage. We have all live music, dancers, carnival rides, food out, like, wow, unbelievable, out the gazoo. You name it, it's going to all be there at Częstochowa. So if you come up, we will have newspapers, flyers of our panel members. We're going to have lots of other things going on. But most of all, a great way to celebrate the Labor Day weekend. I want to say a special thank you to Mark Andel, founder of the Made in America store, for his endless work here with us on American Workers Radio. I mean, I think we have stayed focused and consistent with our message, and I think it's really helped the general public to understand that we have to stop all the rigmarole and start focusing on America. Thanks also to Larkin Connolly, National Small Business Advocate. Larkin's another gentleman who spent his life in business, helping other people in business. And Larkin, you are truly a soldier of good workers in America. Rich Logis, the principal of RJL Technology Integration, will not be with us that I know of today because he is out on a special venture. And of course, Curtis Ellis is away on vacation, and we wish him the very best as well. Our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky, and I am Michael Blihash. Always happy to have you here on the broadcast. And as I said many times, go to your phone and invite family members and friends to tune in because we have a lot of good things to talk about today. Well, it was back in 1884 when the United States Congress passed an act making the first Monday in September Labor Day. It became a national holiday to honor American workers for the skill, strength, prosperity, and well-being they provided to America, its economy, and also to its future. That's very important, its future. That was one of the principles of the Labor Day message. Now, since the first Labor Day celebration, it's 135 years ago, many, many things have changed here in the United States of America for American workers as automation took over a lot of the jobs. Also, people took jobs overseas. We had better working conditions that began in this country, and we are really an outstanding country for workers and stability. A lot of what took place in the last 35 years, however, has taken away some of the heart and soul of America's industries and its workforce, lost many, many jobs. I would say millions of jobs, over 77,000 businesses moved overseas looking for greener pastures. Now, in recent years, with efforts like the Buy American Made campaign, American Workers Radio, and the 20 different states that promote the commentary that I put out every Saturday, we have started to change the hearts and minds of the people. And of course, having no job and having no future has also added to what is taking place. However, I am really pleased to report that on this Labor Day, with the help of millions of our Buy American Made campaign supporters and radio listeners, we are seeing more businesses expanding their product lines right here in the USA. 15 years ago, people didn't think, oh, nothing's going to happen. We're just going to go down, down, down. Well, that's not the way it is. And now we're starting to level off and go up, which is the way it's supposed to be. We're looking for even more employment in America. And with people like Mark Andel, Curtis Ellis, Rich, and also Larkin, we are going to see a lot of good things continue to happen. This is also a good time to note that there are 30 million private sector businesses. That's many more than we had just 2 years ago. They're providing jobs for over 130 million Americans. Should be much more. From what I see in the statistics, we should have about 160 million Americans employed in the private sector. Well, they could be also self-employed, local businesses, and large corporations. Some were taken away by automation. I understand that. But too many of those jobs that we talk about so often were allowed to leave America's shores because leaders were concerned, elected leaders, Democrats and Republicans, were people who just thought, ah, everything is okay, let it go on, you know, let's have the people, you know, scrambling for this and that. Well, with people like Mark and Larkin and Rich and Curtis and so many of you that are going out and promoting the Buy American Made campaign message, we're seeing millions of additional jobs created right here in this country. And when you have a job, you feel better about yourself, your family feels better, your friends feel better, you're able to take care of your house, your children, and you have greater peace of mind. My point to all of this is that we have 30 million businesses in this country. If only half of them, let's say half of them could hire just one additional worker, wouldn't that be great? That would mean we would have 15 million additional jobs, which is what will really help our economy. And last but not least, before I go to Larkin and Rich, I don't feel that we should focus only on Democrats and Republican views. No people should be focused upon their party affiliation. They should be elected to do a good job for the American people, not for the party they represent. I don't know, I'm going to ask Larkin and Mark about those feelings. We should elect people based on what they have to offer and what they're going to offer the constituents in their local communities. All of these radio stations that only bark about Democrats did this, Republicans did this, you know, we need this and that. People are already exhausted hearing it. I want to see results. I have seen results in the last 2 years. And I'm not looking at our president as a Democrat or a Republican. I have seen this person talk about results for this country. Larkin, I'm going to turn to you first. You heard my opening thoughts. What do you have to add to that? And what would you like to see happen or during this Labor Day holiday?
Well, good morning, Michael, and happy Labor Day to you. And to all of our listeners, and to Mark, and to Rich, wherever he might be. And I hope you can look across the studio and give me a guarantee that Henry has both eyes and both arms, and that he came back from San Diego in one piece. I'm only hoping that happened. I spoke to him very briefly this morning, because I know he didn't want to have to admit to any of the shenanigans that he probably got involved with.
No shenanigans.
San Diego. No shenanigans.
I'm there with kids. I drove right by the body shop and didn't go in this time.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's a place on Sunset. Been there.
Yeah. I've not been there, but I've heard about it. That's a lie, too, but whatever.
But, well, you know, with one thing, Larkin, Henry, when he came back from California, he said, we had such hot weather in Philadelphia, it was unbelievable. You could cut it with a knife.
Not one bead of sweat came
off
me there.
And not one bead of sweat came off him.
I walked 12 miles in the strong California sun. Not one bead of sweat.
What?
Not a one.
Unbelievable.
What kind of temperatures did you have in California?
Mid-70s. It was beautiful. It was like San Diego. It was like perpetual spring.
Well, San Diego happens to be the most perfect climate in North America. You know that.
Yep.
Considered the best climate in North America. So you experienced that, and I'm glad. Now you're back here where you belong.
See, I think what's happening, Larkin, that cooler air gets heated up over the desert, and by the time it gets to Florida, everybody is, wow. You know?
Well, by the time it leaves California, it's so full of... Well, we all know what it's full of. and that heats up faster. That heats up much faster.
Larkin, we have been talking about what we need from elected people. When we send people, Mark, you can join in this too. We send people to Washington. 535 people are elected from across the USA to do a job, not for their party, but for the American people. And as people contact me and they say, well, I'm a this and I'm a that, I say, well, I'm not interested in what you are. I'm asking, what are you doing or what are you prepared to do for the people in your district? Not as a party person, but as a person who's qualified to represent people of both sides and independents as well. I mean, this is Labor Day. We had 135 years of celebrating Labor Day. And for the first 100 years in this country, we had booming jobs. Everybody paid attention to getting better working conditions, automation, you know, getting vacations, health care, the whole deal. And then all of a sudden, like 37 years ago, somebody said, let's send those jobs overseas. We'll still make the profit, and everybody else will just have to, you know, accept it, and they'll keep buying because the American people still have good stability. Well, in the last 35 years, we saw a lot of people lose their stability. Then we had veterans coming back from various wars. We had the homeless. We had the illegal immigrants. We had all of this come to America. And I think now it's time for all elected people to get together and look for America first. What do you think of that, Larkin?
Well, I think if you study history, you'll discover that what you said legitimately did happen. It became cheaper to produce a widget in China than it did in the United States of America because of labor unions, because of labor costs, because of a myriad different reasons. It was much easier to do it in China, and free enterprise demanded that our businesses respond that way. And free enterprise also runs our Congress and tells them what to do because Lord only knows Congress doesn't think on their own. They think only about and to the people who respond with an opinion to what they're doing and how much money they're going to contribute so that congressperson can continue to keep their job. It's just like a revolving door of badness. But I think what's happened here is that it has become fashionable to criticize our country. We had an incident down here last week or the week before in Jacksonville where the class, in unity, decided not to stand up for the Pledge of Allegiance nor recite it. And it kind of infuriated the teacher a little bit, who who got up and gave a speech that said that a lot of people gave their lives, a lot of people gave their sweat and blood to make the country what it is today. Is it perfect? No, it's not perfect. It's not near perfect, and we still have problems that we need to reconcile. But denying your patriotism to the effort is ridiculous. And for the life of me, I don't understand it. I can't get it. That just doesn't fit with me. It's like saying, I refuse to line up in recognition with my baseball team because we lost the last three games.
You're right. Well, Larkin, you are absolutely right. You know, I think it might be a good thing to have the people already say when the school year begins or the school year policy or the whole school district policy is, we stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. We respect our teachers. We keep our, people together in a positive way. There's too many liberal ideas. Well, you have the right as an American not to stand for this, or you can speak up against that, or don't answer this question. No, if we are paying the bill for any student to go to school, they should have the rules and regulations in advance. When I went to school, when you went to school, I mean, when a person entered the classroom stood up out of respect and welcomed you. There was none of this, you know, like, I don't like this person, you know, I'm not standing for them. No, it was the policy of the school that you welcome visitors with respect. You may not agree with them personally, but you welcome them to the student body as with respect. That's my thinking on the issue. And I think that too many people in the school system, in the work system, are allowing too much of this liberalism to take place.
Well, you stand for your country, right or wrong. You stand for the pledge and for the flag. You stand for what we stand for, whether we're right or wrong, because we have the ability as a democracy to fix whatever we don't like. And the country gets better every day, as far as I'm concerned. Am I proud of the slavery years in this country? It's a huge mistake. It was a huge mistake. A, I didn't personally make it. And I'm pretty solidly confirm that my father didn't make it. Maybe my grandfather did. I don't know. Can't go back that far for their opinions. But these are people that fought for the country, fought for the United States of America. So you stand no matter what for your country, whether it is right or wrong. If your politicians are wrong, you don't stand for them. You don't vote for them. You don't stand for them. And you object vigorously with what they're doing and the direction they're taking your country in. But you don't not stand for the country itself.
Right, right.
If you can't stand, I'm sorry to go back to a Trump line, but if you can't stand, go.
Go somewhere else.
Go somewhere else.
Go somewhere else. Do us a favor.
Why drag us down? Oh. Why drag us down? Why are we letting some foreigner, some unnatural citizen, who is now a citizen, who is in the Congress, tell us what's right or wrong with our country? That woman was allowed to come into this country by the grace of our nation and to become a part of this country. And now she's sitting in the House of Representatives and telling us what's wrong and why we're not a good country? Get out!
Well, then, Larkin, maybe it's time the people in her district put up a petition to recall her or
not
him.
Not a snowball's chance.
Well, it should be suggested publicly. It should be. I'm
not
suggesting it publicly that she should be recalled. If you noticed, she sort of got quiet in the last few weeks as the country responded that they didn't like that. And by the way, Mark, is any politician going out of their way to contact you, Democrat, Republican, or Independent, to make sure your business continues to grow and make sure mainly that you're able to keep your people employed and even hire more people. Mark, do you have that situation?
No, I don't. You know, how you doing, Lark and Mike? A lot of good conversation here, guys. First on the Pledge of Allegiance, that's a natural. You hit it. It's respect for our country and all those that served and everything we believe in. It should always be done. That's a tough subject. I think every school, that should be the start of the day. But no, politicians don't really come and suggest or offer help, Mike, for me. My father always, you know, joked they, you know, they should, obviously. But, you know, there's such a disconnect in what they do and who we are as businessmen, as Larkin knows. They don't really, a lot of them haven't went through it. There's such a disconnect. A lot of them never worked paycheck to paycheck, or businessman waiting, laying in bed, like Larkin would say. You know, he knows what it is to not have payroll for the next week. We generate our own money as a business. And we talked about it weeks ago about we're risk takers, and there's people that love certainty. You know, but we're risk takers, and risk takers, I think, built America. They took the chance and went for it. And, you know, there's just so much on the line. I do want to say the buses are coming, the mission, the movement, Mike and Larkin, is very strong right now. The Made in America event in Indiana is growing rapidly, and a lot of great positive. Just sent that video to you guys, and it's really, they're trying to be neutral with it. It's not a Republican, a Democratic thing. It's not a left or a right thing. It's about our children's future. It's about us. It's about unity and moving this country forward and making America, you know, that's a great question we should ask her. So why is Made in America so important? Why is it so important to generate our own products and produce our own goods? And we constantly beat that up, but a lot of people just don't know it. I think we got to continue to beat that up, Mike, and make sure people know what we're talking about, why it is so important to build products in our own country.
Yes, you know, and Mark, we have this festival in Doylestown at Częstochowa, and it gets big amounts of people. And I will be there at the stage, and people do stop by, our listeners, our supporters, people who read our stuff in the various publications that we put out, listen to our commentaries on 7 days a week here on 860 and on the internet. They will tell me that, you know, why weren't people speaking like this 25 and 30 years ago? Why did it allow, why was it allowed to sit, you know, quietly? Why were people afraid to speak up as businesses were moving endlessly out of this country? Those major factory buildings and all that just went silent and within a year and a half and turned into apartments or just sitting there vacant. That didn't happen at the snap of a finger. All that took planning. They built places in other countries to accommodate all that manufacturing. Where were the leaders of this country during the last 25 years, 30 years, to say, we can't allow this continue? I can't find, and I did look, I don't want to say which search engine, but I did look very closely to see if there was someone in the last 25 years that said, we can't allow this to continue. No, that was not said. But 1,000 times it was said, especially by our elected people, that this is a free market economy and we can do whatever is necessary to, you know, for business to flourish. Well, businesses can flourish, but how about flourishing, hiring American workers?
And, Mike, I want to bring up, we're working on a PowerPoint, bullet points, educate our team and get ready, you know, for this Made in America event, the largest one under one roof, again, October 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th in Indiana. But the negative impact of rising China trade deficit we're looking into, Chinese exports in the decades since 2001, when China became part of the World Trade Organization, WTO, the United States lost 5.5 million manufacturing jobs, 5.5 million manufacturing jobs in this century, you know, just since 2001. More than 26,000 plants in the U.S. closed, and it included two of mine. So that's a huge, you know, basically our imports went up a hair, but we're 4-1. The total imports from China exceeded American exports. 4-1.
That's right.
So just, I mean, the facts of 26,000 plants closed is quite a few just in the last, you know, 15, 16 years.
You know, and Mark, I didn't hear, or I don't remember hearing, any president in the last 25 years complaining to the people that this is happening. I don't remember it, except in the last 2.5 years have I been hearing it. Larkin, have you heard it in the past?
No, Michael, I haven't. And that's one of the explanations of why what happened happened. We did not transform our own economy from a manufacturing base to a service base to a hand out as opposed to a hand up type society. That all happened, not over the yelling of any specific citizen anywhere who said, "Does anybody see what's happening here?" Nobody did. Nobody saw it coming. It just kind of happened. It was the natural way the economy was headed at the time, and it just happened. The problem is the excuses that we make now not to correct it. That's where I have where I become upset over the whole deal. So we were kind of looking in the wrong direction. We were thinking about profits at the time, which is natural to free enterprise. We were looking at this, we were looking at that, but you know what? Guess what, guys? We let all the horses and cattle out of the damn barn. Now we have to go back out in the field and catch them and bring them all back home. And everybody's saying, this is a world economy, and I don't know that we're not going to have to learn to live with China for the rest of our life. Maybe we're not a manufacturing economy anymore. We're 35th in science. We're like 29th in math. We are really kind of turned into a dumb society. How are we going to fix it? Everybody making excuses and nobody grabbing the bull by the horn, except for the president who says he's going to make America great again, and he's going to do it, quite frankly, by saying we're not going to roll over for China. We're not going to roll over for any other purely export nation that plays with the value of their own money so as to keep an upper hand. They don't play by the rules. Hey, listen, I thought Trump did pretty well with the G7. He came away with an agreement from Japan, an agreement to sit down and talk to Iran if they're ready to talk, and an agreement to, let's negotiate with Japan, China, if they're ready to talk. You got to be, willing to at least talk. So I think he had a pretty fruitful trip going over there. He really didn't leave a lot for people to make fun of, except that I got an email from a very confused citizen of our country who said, "Why did everybody complain so viciously about one of the greatest first ladies we've ever had, Michelle Obama, and look at who we have now?" And Melania was whispering into some politician's ear. They were laughing. They were sharing a joke. They were whatever. It's just the nature of where we are now. This country is steeped in hatred. People can't wait to hate something, not love it, not stand behind it, not fight for it. They can't wait to hate something in this country. And I can start naming groups now and probably still be naming them when this program ended, if you gave me an opportunity,
Larkin, to do so. You are absolutely correct. Even when I talk to some people, I try to say, look at what everybody's doing. Things are changing. It's always the but. It could be better. It's always some kind of a goofy, negative thing to bring the statement that you're making in a positive way down. We have made progress.
I got to give you the classic one. This is classic. I said to another citizen who's let me put it this way. He's not a strong Democrat. He despises. His blood boils and his temperature goes up when anybody says the word Republican or he is confronted by a Republican individual. His level of hatred is almost frightening. And I said the other day, just in passing, and I think it might have been the education initiative that our good governor, Republican governor, laid out. And I said, isn't that great? That's got to make you happy. And he said, why would I support or cheer for somebody who's just doing their job? Would not give the guy the credit.
Yep, I understand that.
Would not give him my 5 seconds of credit. Said, I'm not going to applaud somebody who's just doing their job. That was, he actually said that to me, and I thought, this has got to be a joke. You guys are running out of material.
That's right. You know what, Mark? I'd like to know how many politicians, say, in the last 10 years, knowing the situation that happened to your business, seeing how like the Phoenix, you rose up and became, 100% whole. How many politicians came to compliment you, say, I'm going to join you, I want to make an example of you, encourage people to contact you for ideas? Have any of them done that on any side, local, national, congressmen, senators from New York? I'm just curious to know.
You know, there's been a few good ones that supported and said I'm authentic and liked what we've done, but the follow-up has never been there, Mike. Because it's the real deal. It's working. Our stores are working every day. 100% products, helping entrepreneurs, inventors, new products in. But they haven't been there. They're kind of in their own world, always. They might come shake hands, get a picture.
It's a photo op.
And, then they're gone. They might, whisper to me they believe in it, but, everything's, draining the swamp was a big deal. I've been told Democrat or Republican politicians whispered in my ear, they love what I'm doing. Stay out of the political scene. A lot of there's good people out there, I don't want to say, but none of them ever came forward and did anything after the picture. Mike, a lot going on. I want to switch a little bit. On my other radio show, I had we always have a feature item or a product or a CEO. But we got a company, they came up with the Nickel City Ketchup. Pretty neat. The guy was born and raised Buffalo, but then he moved to Indiana. But it's a Red Gold is the company. But the story is pretty neat on this Red Gold company. They make, they're one of the largest, well, they are the largest tomato producers now in the world, and they're based out of Indiana, and they kind of got into it about Heinz and how all the tomatoes come from all around the world. You don't know what you're getting, and there's no inspection on a lot, but it shows what a brand can do, and people don't pay attention what's in it, Mike. And then here we got a smaller group, but this Red Gold company. And to me, it just raised, again, if we educate more, be consistent with our message, we've got to tell people what they're buying, what they're eating. And again, back to the why Made in America is important. I know it's kind of off our subject, but it's so important. There's a lot of great companies still in America that just need the help, and consumers can give them that help by buying their product. So it's just another neat thing I found out. I never knew, based out of Indiana, the largest tomato manufacturer. So there's a lot of people still fighting the fight that I think are getting revived by your show, Mike, and us, and what we talk about and do. So we can't let up now, because I think we're just scratching the surface on this whole mission.
Oh, it is. You're
movement.
Right, Mark. We are scratching the surface. I mean, I'm hearing from both sides, Democrats and Republicans. I have the pleasure of working equally with both parties. And I see the interest that they have, because getting people back to work, it means getting people back on the tax rolls. Any politician would like to be, in office, but the big part of the problem is the budget.
Yeah.
How is the budget being funded? If you have more people collecting unemployment, welfare, and other programs, then you're not going to be actually able to put those monies into roads and schools and things like that. Working in historic Philadelphia, I meet a lot of people that come and they say, wow, our roads in Europe are much better. And it's a fact, because they put a lot of effort into keeping their roads number one. You come into some of the areas of America, the potholes are there. The street was started to be repaired 3 months ago, and then they ran to another emergency job or whatever, and that uneven pavement is there for months and months, if not years. That's not good management. And people are saying, every time I see a visitor, I ask them, how are you enjoying your visit to America? And they say, I love this place. And I say, how do you find our city as opposed to the cities in Europe? Well, it's a lot of people out of work over here, a lot of, you know, panhandlers and things like that, more than we see in the big cities in Europe. And I say, well, that's unfortunate. We've had some tough times in America. You know, automation has changed the way business is done. And, you know, like they look and they say, well, if you can't do business in one respect and you can't get people employed in one respect, why aren't they out fixing the roads and beautifying the schools and things like that? They in Europe, they take a different approach. If you're unemployed, then you're all automatically employed by the government doing something positive for the government and the children and the seniors and the communities where you live. That's something we don't have in America. In America, as soon as you say you should join the Job Corps or something like that while you're unemployed, keep up your skills. No, that's slave labor. It's 1,001 excuses not to become involved, not to keep the people working in some way. Do you find that? Have you seen that before, Larkin?
Yeah. You also need to take into consideration how many people live in America and how many people drive. You know, Michael, as well as I do, in Poland and in Italy and Switzerland, these families have one car.
Yes, true.
And they pay a pretty penny for that one car. They're all driving Mercedes-Benzes and BMWs and Audis and, you know, some of the finer cars made in the world. But and they only have a family car, and it's parked in front of their house. In America, if you have a driver's license, you're supposed to have a car. And that's very hard on our infrastructure. And we also used money for our infrastructure, quite honestly, for wars that we were fighting and not for a constant vigil on the bridges. Take a look at Philadelphia, one of the world's finest cities, and it is struggling under the problem of bad bridges. I mean,
I agree, Larkin, yeah. But a lot of that is because we allowed the employment base to fall down. As we're talking about Labor Day, we saw so many of the jobs leave America, and it was silence as they left. Corporations took 800-900 jobs and just relocated them in some other country, and Americans said, well, that's the way the world is now. There's changes. I'll find something else. But when you have a steady job and you're making a particular product or providing a particular service, it's not so easy to replace that job. And that's where I blame Democrats and Republicans and the few independents that there are in the nation for not focusing on the real needs of the American people. We're Americans first. Yes, we can go and be doing business in other countries, but we're Americans first. We have to look out for ourselves. Do you look out for your next door neighbor first, or do you look out for your own family, your own children, your own house first? This is something that doesn't make any kind of sense. Yeah, and that, by the way, is something that the visitors tell me from that come all over to historic Philadelphia. They say, well, in our culture, we look for family first. And that's very interesting. And it must be said over there on their cable stations over and over, because so many of the people said the same thing. We do look out for family first.
You know, such a big weekend coming up, guys, and we talk about Labor Day. Mike, you know, you gave us statistics, started 1884. But such a big weekend for those that work learn and earn, Larkin, we talk about. But for those that earn and really work, what a celebration really Monday is. Not for those that get the handouts. It's for those who work and really live the American dream, right? And that's what this big weekend is about. And then after the weekend, we start the fourth quarter, which is the largest quarter for us retail-wise and businesses-wise, so everybody can play their part. But, you know, we just I just want to put it out there for this Labor Day weekend that there was a holiday for them, for that hard worker.
Yes, there was. And that's why we formed November as Made in America Month, to get the people worked up looking for the labels. And I am proud to say there are more products around with the Made in the USA label on them, a little flag or something. But it's nowhere near what it should have come to in the last 10 years. People that are invested in foreign countries hope that this message will go away, because why should they regroup in America when they can just continue business as usual in the foreign country and get that 60 cents on every dollar profit? And that's what it really comes out to. They make 60 cents on a dollar. The other 40 cents goes for making and shipping the product to America. And that's where the politicians, the business people should have all got together, especially the American business, the people, the businesses that did not leave America. They should have been beefing for years. Don't support this or that. Support our brand. Help us to remain solvent. Help us to expand our product lines. It wasn't done. Larkin, you've been involved in various businesses. You saw how businesses left and no one said a word.
Yes, that's very true, Michael. And the fact of the matter is that if you're truly going to look to your own government for help, then it should be legitimate help that's given to any and all people that live in this country. I mean, I don't quite understand why the government refuses to help successful people. Because we've got one on the phone with us. Mark Andel can tell you that even successful people, even people who work hard, even people who have great plans, run into snafus and things that make life a little tough on them. So you turn around and you think, well, I need to get some help. Well, boy, don't turn to your government. They're too busy giving out unemployment. They're too busy giving out all, you know, they're going to educate everybody and pay, use my money to do that. But to help the successful people who make this country rock and roll, you just can't find that anymore. You just, you know, the government's just not interested in it. It doesn't win votes.
Larkin, I wanted to add this because someone called me. We had a job fair in Philadelphia this past Tuesday, yesterday. And I spoke to the person last night and I said, how was it? Because I couldn't get involved. I was on another project. But said, you know, Michael, one job fair after the next, we are just seeing more and more young people coming totally, totally unprepared for any type of work, be it labor, be it office work, anything. They're just not prepared. They had easy times in school, showed up for class when necessary, gave their papers any old which way, and it was accepted. And now when you're expected to go to a job and be paid to do that job, no employer wants to have someone that just had a C plus or a C average in school, and that had no abilities to show anything to anybody. Their resume has just a few, you know, part-time this and part-time that. The people in the business industry are now starting to look for the cream of the crop. Mark, you're a perfect example. When somebody comes to you, don't you look at the resume to see what they've done and what they really have to offer? Or are you willing to start reinventing the wheel and take that person and do everything to possibly get them motivated in their life?
You know, we want experience is everything, but we work with kids and adults and experience. It's very hard to find, but we want the experience. We'll always work with them, but we try to get qualified people. And it's very hard. That's what we ask the schools to do. They get the fundamentals taught. Get them. That's why we want the metal shops, the wood shops back in these schools, so they can get exposed to these different skilled trades and things that they might have an interest in. And then when we get them, they've actually got the fundamentals. And if they've got want and a good attitude, we can work with them. Mike, I do want to give a Small Business Association, the SBA, Larkin, you're tied with, in their loan application and borrower information form, at the end of it, before you sign, they've got, they want to suggest, highly suggest, people that are involved with the SBA loan proceeds that they, when feasible, purchase only American-made equipment and products. And, Larkin, that's a line in the end, last paragraph before you sign away. So I think that's movement. They're really pushing people, Small Business Association, which is a ton of paperwork when you're involved with it. But I love that they have the line before you sign that they highly suggest you purchase only American-made equipment and products.
Yeah, I'm delighted to hear that. That's phenomenal. And like my statement from the economic roundtable last week, it's that kind of fundamental up the ladder movement that's going to, you know, is going to make things change. There's no question of that. So I applaud the SBA for that.
Yeah, it was awesome.
But when I talk about a lack of government support, I'm more leaning towards just a general attitude that comes out of Congress. What comes out of the SBA really isn't developed in Congress. That's developed by the cabinet, because the head of the SBA now sits on the cabinet. So that's a presidential initiative, and I applaud the president for that language. That, to me, is absolutely huge.
You know, Larkin and Mark and everyone listening, you also have to remember this. A businessman or woman, when they open up their store, their shop, their restaurant, they control what happens in that business, that store, that restaurant. What's being offered, if it's going to be Italian food or Polish food or Irish food or whatever. They control the thing. That's what I like about more and more of these people. They're starting to take control of the businesses. If somebody doesn't want to do business with them, that's fine. This is their business policy. This is what we have to offer. When I go out to the stores and they tell me the merchandisers are still balking about bringing in American-made products because they don't make as much profit on them. They're angry that people are asking, where's the American-made competitive item? This, I understand what they're talking about, but I like the fact that people are saying, I want an American-made something that I can look at. If it's $5 more or $10 more, I want the choice. Do I want it foreign or American made? Big deal. They don't want to do it. So they keep saying, well, the supply is low in this area and that area. Mark, you know from what you're doing in your store, many of your businesses may not be the biggest, but they're able to supply you and whoever else. I'd like to see those businesses double in size because the people asking for American made has grown not only in New York, but all over the USA.
Yeah, I mean, we see it from our bus loads, and bus loads are coming, Mike, left and right, which is awesome this time of year. But these people are loving what we're doing. They're going back. They're buying Made in America products. They didn't know we educated, but they have a ball. They love learning what's made here, what's not made here still. And I just think it's an extreme vehicle with the buses coming in. These people go back to their hometowns all through the United States, and they're shopping more Made in America, and they're learning to look at what they're buying. And it's that simple that can make such a big movement. And as this continues to grow, it's going to be neat to see where this country is 10 years.
Oh, yeah, I think we're going to be, and I think that not only the next president of the United States, but future presidents are going to have to be held accountable for what happens in the business community. The business community just can't be donors who give to a president or a congressman or a senator to get favors. It has to be something that's going to improve this country. We're talking about Labor Day. 135 years ago, people were so thrilled to see so many people employed. We had a huge amount of people employed at that time. It was the Industrial Revolution. We're trying to bring about a new industrial revolution, a new business revolution, a new support America revolution in this country. That's real to me what it's all about. We've gone through many revolutions in the world. It's time for America to go to a new thinking. We have to look out for our own cities, our own people, and stop all the rigmarole, the battling. If some of these television shows have to go off the air, tough luck. It's time to get rid of them if they are dividing people. I want people to unite us as Americans. This is where we live. We are one people. By the way, I enjoy promoting my heritage, and I encourage everyone to promote their heritage, because America is a great mosaic of people from around the world. If you go to another country, maybe they're only going to promote their particular people. But in America, we are a nation of many people, many nationalities, many countries. So let's all work together. But work together for the country where we live. And we want to have our children and grandchildren, our family and friends prosper. That's the bottom line. It seems that the message I'm hearing from all these people running for various levels of office, not only the president, but the senators and some of these congressmen, I'm listening to what they're saying. Everything is what we're going to give away, how much we're going to, you know, teach people to be on the government. That's not what this is all about. I mean, does anybody listening get up in the morning and say, I want my child to be dependent on the government? I want to raise them to be dependent on Uncle Sam. Or do you say, I want my child to do better than me? There for a while, by the way, I believe that some of the people that went through some tough times in the 80s and 90s, and maybe even the 70s, they had to work hard and all, wanted to make it easier on their children. So what they did is they kept going on and on ways to make sure their children's lives were easy. Maybe that's not always a good idea. I think a young boy and a young girl should experience everything in life on their own.
And that's very true. And I'd like to even back those comments up a bit to reflect a Bernie Sanders-ism, as I call them. Bernie wants to make college free for everybody, and I think that's magnanimous. And Bernie, if you can learn how to do that, in my personal feeling is not everybody needs to go to college. In a long shot, not everybody needs to go to college. As a matter of fact, over 50% of the people in this country don't need to go to college. They just don't need it. They don't need to be exposed to it. And I'd like to make a suggestion to Big Bad Bernie, you know, the guy that's got all of this figured out. Bernie, I think you ought to back up about 8 years and start worrying about the education of the sixth grader through the 12th grader who can't read, can't write, 39th in the world in science, 32nd in math, zero in English. Don't worry about college, Bernie. Do me a huge favor and start worrying about our grade schoolers and our high schoolers who are not being educated, not even close.
Well said, Larkin. Wow, boy, that is perfect. And by the way, do you know what is really interesting? What you just said. The boys and girls 10 years ago already in the sixth grade should have been promoted to start writing a little bit about what they think of their own life. We used to do that in school. I mean, the good teachers would say, I want you to give me a report, and they would take them, and we never got a grade on it, but they would ask us. Tell us what you think you've learned this year in school and what you're, you know, looking forward to doing over this summer. It was like the end of year report. That none of that is done anymore. And I think Bernie and all the other people running for president, Congress, Senate, should request those kinds of things be sent to them from their constituents, because they don't understand what's really taking place in America. They're living in a bubble, in a balloon. It's time for that balloon to be burst. And let's really see what's happening in America. It's leaders with ideas like that that cause the streets to, you know, have the homeless, to have the streets broken up. Our infrastructure needs trillions of dollars just to get it started. Why did that happen? Because too much of our time and our money has been devoted on helping people who have fallen into poverty because jobs were not located in America. That's my thought for this Labor Day. And I know that I will see many people who listen to this broadcast during the three-day festival this weekend, over Labor Day weekend, and then next weekend there at the National Shrine of Our Lady of Częstochowa in Doylestown, Pennsylvania. If you'd like more information about that, just go to PolishAmericanFestival.com and you'll see what I'm talking about. I'll be working the main stage. I'll have all of our paraphernalia. You'll be able to see pictures of Larkin, Rich, Mark, myself, and you'll be able to learn more about us. And if you have anything you would like me to add to future broadcasts, please let me know about it, because I love hearing from people. Final thoughts as we begin this Labor Day holiday. Let's start off with Mark. What are you looking to do, Mark?
Yeah, no, big weekend for us. But again, to all the listeners, enjoy your Labor Day weekend. Remember, listeners and us, how much power people have. The consumer has so much power when you're going out to buy your goods this weekend. Take a look at where it's made. Take a look at what you're buying, and you can make that difference. Mike, just a lot going on. I'm excited about, you know, the next 4 months of the year, the biggest exciting 4 months in our big Made in America event. But God bless, and have a great weekend.
You know, Mark, I'm going to ask that you promote November as American Made Month at the show.
Absolutely.
And I'd like you to be one of our spokesmen. Larkin, how are you feeling these days as we begin the Labor Day holiday?
Well, God bless America, and God bless all of our workers, all of our hard workers, and all of our great families in this country. It's the best place in the world. It's not perfect, but it's the best place that exists. God bless America.
God bless America.
God bless liberty.
And let me tell you this. I will be happy when America has more than full employment, that more people are needed to work two jobs, not just one, to keep all the products and services and advisors and everything on the street. Well, ladies and gentlemen, until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11, I wish all of you the very best. Have a wonderful Labor Day holiday, and I'll see you there in Doylestown.
All right. Have a great week, guys.